The next casualty of the shutdown, school lunches. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio, who's on assignment. 20 million students from low-income families across the country get free or reduced-priced meals every day. Those meals are paid for with federal money. Now, the partial government shutdown has many school districts worried about their ability to provide nutritious meals. This week, one school in North Carolina started paring back its menu. Marketplace's Renata Sago has more on how schools are coping.
A typical lunch at the Prairie Hills School District in Northeast Kansas is lasagna and salad with green beans and bread. Brooke Brubeck, who runs food services there, says there's enough federal funds to last through March. But if the shutdown continues, she may have to take some fruits and veggies off the menu.
You know, in Kansas in the middle of winter, that's not cheap usually.
At the Newburgh School District in southern New York, Superintendent Roberto Padilla says if the shutdown continues, schools will have to hold off on buying supplies like refrigerator trucks. He worries about the students who rely on the free meals, meals they aren't getting at home.
When you have a child who's hungry, that child struggles to concentrate and ultimately perform their best.
At the Vance County District in North Carolina near Raleigh, schools are starting to conserve food, offering students just one entree instead of a choice of two. District spokeswoman Terry Hedrick says that's because with the shutdown,
we have no guarantees at this point how long it will last.
95% of the district's kids come from low-income families and qualify for free or reduced-price lunch. I'm Renata Sago for Marketplace.
A six-day teacher strike in the nation's second-largest school district has ended. Teachers in Los Angeles have approved a contract deal between their union and school officials. They'll go back to work this morning. The deal reached Tuesday gives teachers a raise, additional support staff, and smaller class sizes. Let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is down 0.4%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up in the 3-0.4% range, with the Dow future up 86 points. The 10-year Treasury yield is at 2.76%. Global trends are on full view at the World Economic Forum in Davos. Yesterday, U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and Brazilian President Jair Bolsonaro gave patriotic speeches celebrating their government's focus on national self-interest. Pompeo's was via video. The U.S. delegation to Davos was canceled due to the shutdown. Today, Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe and German Chancellor Angela Merkel give speeches. These are two leaders who are very internationally minded, who support free trade and cooperation. One of the purposes of the meetings in Davos is to promote cooperation in a changing world. Sadia Zahiri is head of the World Economic Forum's Center for the New Economy and Society and joins us. Good morning.
Good morning.
The theme of this year's Davos Summit is Globalization 4.0. Can you explain what that is?
It's essentially the coming together of various trends that are affecting our economy, but also our societies. So, for example, geopolitical shifts, inequality, climate change, and technological changes coming together. All of these four factors together are creating a new period of globalization. And a lot of what we're trying to do here at the annual meeting is essentially saying this is the moment where we can come together and start shaping where we want to go.
What marks it most as different from previous eras?
There are many different factors, and it is that combination of global economic integration coming together with technological change and the ability now we have that we now have to communicate with each other, which I think is, for me, fundamentally one of the biggest changes. We now have platforms that allow for people's skills to essentially create a virtual but global labor market, which is something we really have not had before. That is one aspect of this upcoming phase of globalization that is going to require a very different set of laws, and it's going to require a very different way of governments to think about what it means to be attracting jobs to your economy.
But we are in a time period where there are huge disagreements over global institutions, from, you know, the World Trade Organization to maritime law. We've had Brexit. We've had this trade war between the U.S. and China. Is the current meeting in Davos, is it made more difficult by this environment?
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of the challenges that are, as I mentioned before, areas that we have been spending decades in some cases in addressing. At the same time, there is an interesting distinction between globalization and globalism.
Globalization, you're saying, is just the sort of phenomena that happen economically and socially in a world that is very connected, whereas globalism is like a set of shared global values. Is that what it is? What's the difference?
Exactly. And I think we're going to need to move forward on an era of globalization that is occurring regardless, right? The economic integration, the social integration, the communication integration. And at the same time, we do live in a multi-conceptual world, in some cases, a multi-value world. It will be harder to get to coordination and cooperation, but we do also have shared purposes. So climate change, one collective mission or purpose. There is a collective mission or purpose when it comes to ensuring that workforces across all economies have the appropriate education and skills that can allow them to not just sort of survive, but thrive in this future global economy.
Sadia Zahidi is head of the World Economic Forum Center for the New Economy and Society. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you for having me.
In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.